please, if you haven't already, please make yourself comfortable. And I'm looking around the room for Sat. Let me just pray for you before we share. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Sat. We thank you for all that he brings to us as a family. And we pray now, Heavenly Father, that he will share your word, that your Holy Spirit will be upon his tongue and from him to us. Lord, inhabit his words this morning, that we may learn more of you. Amen.
To God, would accept him and accept him as their living Savior. The other thing I would like to highlight, which has already been highlighted, is the Alpha course. In the notice, there is a slide about Alpha course. Can you please bring it on screen? No, not my sermon yet. Ooh, go back. On the notice thing, there is a slide about Alpha course. There are three words that I would like to highlight as I talk about this, which says, what can I do? What can I do? This one. What can I do? So, three words for us is pray, invite, and involve. Alpha course is the course that we are running as a church family. And please, I request you to pray for this. When you pray, just don't pray, oh God, that Lord, the Alpha course, let that be a blessed word. But then pray that, Lord, please show me someone whom I can invite for this. We have these leaflets. Please take them. We have information on our Instagram and Facebook and would be soon available on our website. Please share that information. If you prefer a softer version of communication, please share them with that and invite them. And most importantly, try to get involved. How can you involve yourself? By continuing to pray for those people who are joining those evenings, for those who are leading the discussion. You can also help us bring a meal for a lovely evening, and you can join us on that evening. But please do that. I want to highlight this almost every Sunday from this point onwards, because as Graham said, we want to see 20 people to come and ask questions. And we would not be able to answer all the questions that they might have. But we'll work together on that journey in finding the answers for those questions. So can I please request the church family to pray, invite, and involve in this step of ours where we want people to come and know Christ. At this time I can say, can we say big amen to that?
But
thank you. And let's just say, God, help us with that. As we look towards our sermon this morning, don't show my slide yet. Keep it secret. Shh. I must say this right at the beginning. Because of the subject that we are dealing with this morning, there might be a few words or things that I would say that parents or adults, those who are taking care of children, might not find appropriate for them. So please make note of that. I understand most of our children have gone to Sunday school and all that, but then please make note of that. The passage that we have read this morning is, we have read, right?
We did.
Yes, sorry, I was not here.
I read it myself, Sam.
Thank you, Graham. Is Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 30. And when we look at this passage, it is one thing, it is easy to say, oh, it only talks about men. See, Jesus was talking to men and he was a man with his main audience. Therefore, then it doesn't apply to other people, other members of the church family who are not men. I suppose that would be wrong. I think there is no text in the Bible which excludes anybody. And even in this text, that is the case. It applies to all of us. Either men or women, it applies to us because it is a biblical principle that we are trying to learn. But before I dive into what I have to share this morning, as always,
I would like to open up a space to the church family. If you have anything specific to share based on or from this passage. Any thought, any verse that came to your mind when you when the passage was read? Any old experience that you could think of when the passage was read? Oh, can we have a scripture portion back on the screen, please? Thank you, Ole. See, you're a superstar.
This is a bit of a weird one, but I've just been reading Jane Eyre, which is a story many of you will know. And a lot of the problem in the story is when Mr. Rochester tries to marry Jane, but he's already married. And I was just reminded when I read this that he was attempting to commit adultery with her. And at the end of the story, they're reunited, and she finds that just as in this passage, he's lost an eye and he's lost a hand. And I think that was just something to share.
Oh, thank you. I don't know that story. Maybe I should read that. Any other hands? Yes, Margaret. Is it from the passage that you want to... Yes, Margaret. Well, Margaret, it's okay. If it's not from the passage, we'll talk about that later, Margaret. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Thank you, Margaret. No, it's fine. It's okay. It's on, yeah.
Okay. I think it's that, I mean, to me, it's kind of clearly not literal, because otherwise we'd have no eyes, no legs, no anything. But also, it's that hugely seriousness of sin, because the thing that comes through is actually sin is so serious, you are better to do this extreme, terrible thing and really harm yourself than to sin, you know, and to end up in hell. So I think those two balanced.
Tennis and then. Oh, is it? It's fine. Now I've already walked here.
I think it's obviously like the Bible is very, there's a lot of imagery or metaphoric in its text. And I think just looking at from, I think especially from 29 to 30 about, you know, gouging out your eye or cutting your hand. I think it's really... I'm thinking about even just like the influences of people around you in that sense. Like if that, it's just to also elaborate on that, just how serious sin is. Like if you're around somebody else who maybe causes you to, like whatever influence it is, to literally be able to notice that and the gravity of just cut that off right away. I mean, it's a bit deep, but it could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be whatever it is, but it's deep to think about it.
Thank you, Dennis. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's quite a difficult thing, isn't it, about you shall not commit adultery, and I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully, blah, blah, blah. It's not really just about the adultery thing, but for me, I sort of look at it and think, you know, it's really about your thought life, and I'm guessing that's what you're going to go into, but it's not just about adultery, but it could be, you know, about coveting something or stealing something, or, you know, it's about if you have this in your brain, then actually that's likely to, if you don't do something about it from that point, it can then lead into further actions, and then you might need to be taking dire action, like, you know, gouging out your eye and chopping off your hand. You know, hopefully that's not going to happen, but it starts in your mind, and if you're thinking these things, then if you don't deal with it at that point, whether it's adultery or coveting or stealing or murder or whatever it happens to be, you know, and later on Jesus talks about, you know, you've already murdered your brother if you think about it, or if you don't forgive, you know, it starts in the beginning in your mind, you know, and if you don't deal with it at that point, then you have to take more drastic measures to deal with it, and that becomes more painful. The more you go along, the more painful it is. So it's not just about committing adultery in this thing, although there are many other things to commit adultery with. It's not just about lusting after somebody, is it? It's lusting after things and doing stuff. You know, adultery is a bigger thing than just one thing in that sense, you know. But anyway, so that was what I kind of thought about it, really.
Thank you.
I think the thing that came across to me is Jesus knows us. He knows what we're like. And I'm not saying that with any judgment, and I don't think Jesus says that with any judgment, but he knows us.
I must say, this is one of those Sundays where I thought, oh, let me go out with young people to have a lovely cup of coffee and not preach. I think Jesus had a wonderful outline for the Sermon on the Mount. And I have said this previously, that what Jesus is doing, he is taking each commandment out of the Ten Commandments that Moses has given, or God gave to Moses, and he is adding a deeper meaning to those commandments. There is a great parallel to what Jesus is talking here to what Ten Commandments are. And if we look at this particular verse that we are looking at this morning, he is dealing with sixth commandment. Now you can show my ta-da moment. That's fine. Now, Jesus is taking a sixth commandment and he is adding a deeper meaning to it. And he is not just focusing and saying that, okay, if you do or act on it or have an adulterous relationship with someone, then it is a sin. But he adds a deeper principle to it and says even thinking about it is sin. You know, that's where it says on the screen. The principle here at play is that sin is not committed only when the action is taken. Even the thought is sin. And that's where this morning we are saying thoughts matter. I know there are certain words on the screen that might make us feel uncomfortable. Oh, why are we talking about all these things on Sunday morning? Certain topics that are there are more of hush-hush topics that we would prefer to talk about when we are in our home, maybe with our friends that we are really comfortable with. But these things matter. Why is Jesus talking about adultery and say even looking at a woman or even looking at a person lustfully is sin? You know, many a times when we look at things and verses like this, we think, oh, he is making it so difficult. How can I control my thoughts? You know, thoughts we think we have no control on. To a certain extent, I would agree, and to a certain extent, I won't. And Jesus knew that. Why? Because he was very much in the process when Adam and Eve were created by God. He lived on this earth. And when Jesus says that your thoughts matter, even thinking about it is a sin, there is a deeper principle or deeper aspect of God that is at play here in this verse. in order to understand that, we just need to briefly remind us of the wonderful gift of sex that God has given to us as humans. You know, I must say this, that the casual sex that the world talks about, which has made it every street corner's word among young people, is not biblical. Sex is not supposed to be a casual activity. Oh, let's just have sex. The world talks about it and the world portrays it and the world thinks, oh, that's fine. You know, the words like compatibility and just seeing how compatible we are with each other and all that stuff. That's the language world talks about when they're talking about sex. But that is not biblical. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, there's a beautiful verse which says, therefore the man shall leave his parents and be together with woman, and they shall become one flesh. And this verse is there in the Bible at four different times. Jesus himself, when talking about marriage and other aspects of life, he quoted this verse in Luke. And then Paul talks about it. And there's a wonderful book that I always get reminded when I'm talking about this verse, about the whole marriage covenant. But then that is the principle that God, or that Jesus had in his mind when he's talking about this. The whole act of physical intimacy is making a statement to other person that I commit myself wholeheartedly to you. You know, in the worldly language, where a sex or physical intimacy is becoming a casual activity, they don't focus on the deeper emotion connections that having a physical intimacy with other person establishes. And that is a biblical picture where we are not allowed to have sex with anybody and everybody at our own free will, but that has to be enjoyed, and that has to be that physical intimacy has to be established in the bond of marriage, where you commit, where we commit to each other and say that I have given myself wholeheartedly to you. You know, I like the word engage. And if in the olden days, if the phone is engaged, I don't know if it was here, but in India, if you call the same number, you would get a voice reply saying, oh, the routes to this line are busy. And therefore, then nobody else is able to call to that person because he's talking to someone, that person is talking to someone else. And that is a biblical picture of sex that God talks about. I know when I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking of all the different cultures and all the different perspectives and all that stuff. And I do understand that there might be a few people here this morning who might have a few questions, or who might say, oh, I don't agree with what Sat said about this, or I don't agree with what was expressed this morning. Please come and talk to me after the sermon. I'm more than happy to talk on any of these matters. As far as our conversation is about head-to-head knowledge, rather than getting emotionally hurt about what has been said, let's have an open discussion about anything and everything under the sky. But that is the picture that Jesus and God has, that we find in the Bible. And therefore, if that is the life that we are meant to have, where we wholeheartedly commit ourselves to other person, it directs our life, it directs our living, it directs how we live. And therefore, then it is not just an act that can make it wrong, it is also thinking about someone else in a lustful manner that makes it a sin. When we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to something, then, you know, again, there's a verse in the Bible which says that no one can serve two masters. You know, as soon as the word wholehearted comes into the play, as soon as a statement is said that I give myself completely to you, it means 100%. All my plans, all my life, all my desires, all my life is just for that person. And it is that aspect that God or that Jesus is talking about here in this passage when he talks about an adultery. Back in those days when Jesus was sitting on the sermon on this mount and giving the sermon, there was this understanding like we also have these days, till the time you are found guilty or till the time you are found in an act, it is all fine. In fact, law still follows that principle. There is no punishment for thinking in the law. Just because you were thinking in your home and making a plan or thinking to rob someone else, you cannot be put in a jail. But if you do it, then you have a case against you. But Christ goes beyond that because, as being rightly said, that it starts in our thinking. The word to focus in this verse here is the word lustfully. The problem is not in looking. The problem is the intention of looking. And sometimes, because in the day and age that we live, sometimes the looking or looking at someone is also not important. But the whole intention of lust behind it is the problem. You know, we live in the day and age of ebooks and podcasts and all that sorts of things. So to have a lustful desires, you don't need to look at someone. You have audiobooks, you have podcasts to listen to, you have videos to look at. Again, the look comes in there. But it is the lust, the aspect of lust, desiring someone else apart from whom you have committed to, is the whole act. The whole action of thinking about it itself is wrong. Now that does not mean, oh, I'm still growing up, I have not been married yet, and I have not been engaged to anybody yet. Does that give me a freedom to think about anybody and everybody lustfully? Because I'm not into that bond of relationship yet. As I said at the beginning, nobody is excluded from the commands of God. If you are at that stage in your life where you are still scouting, is that the word they use in football? I don't know what's the right word there. It is still honoring God that, God, I live my life as your child. And therefore, I would reflect that even in my thinking. Admiring someone's beauty is not wrong, but desiring someone with a lustful thought is wrong. It doesn't matter what stage of life you are at. And that is what Jesus is talking about, because it is easy for all of us, or for anybody of us, for even for me as a minister or as a person, to have thoughts that are not right in sight of God. And I can have a great smile sitting in a shopping mall looking at people, but nobody would know what's happening in my mind. But God knows it all. And God knows what we are thinking. We can have a lovely picture of a great person among people, but God knows the reality because he knows our thoughts. And that is what Jesus is talking about, the thinking about someone lustfully is wrong. Now, when we were talking about this whole sermon series, one of the topics I wanted to talk about is pornography. Because if we are talking about whole aspect of adultery and we are talking about whole aspect of even thinking about it, how can we not talk about the aspect of pornography that is so much relevant? Sometimes I say a word and I feel I've not pronounced it right. That is so much in existence in our society today. If I happen to ask a question this morning, not that how many of us are watching pornography, that's not the question. If I happen to ask, in the last week, when we were on our phones or on our computers and on our TV screens, have we not come across an image of a man or a woman who were not wearing enough clothes and had a very provocative aspect to their body? We come across, it is becoming so common these days to come across an advertisement or an image on our mobile phones or an ad banner on our computers to have an image of a man or a woman who have a very provocative body posture, not wearing enough clothes. You don't have to hunt for it. You don't have to look for it. It just comes. The social media age that we live in, they throw things at us. And you know, how long does it take for them to know if you're interested or not interested in any particular aspect? Any wild guess? 1 minute? 30 seconds? Milliseconds. Scroll. If you're scrolling on your screen and if you pause, they catch that. And then we get more and more images or video related to that particular image or video because we have paused there for a millisecond. That's it. You don't have to look at something for a whole minute or something. That's it. If your speed slows there, if you pause there, that's it. And we live in that world. We see all these images and videos that we come across. And some people go beyond that and make a willful desire to access pornography. And there are a few stats on the screen there. And this was a report that was conducted in US. And in fact, if you scan the QR code, it gives you access to the article and a few other resources that some of us might find it helpful. I'm not going to read all the stats there, but then I would like to read two things on the screen, which says 62% of Christians who use porn, they think it's fine. They're comfortable using it. They don't see anything wrong in watching porn regularly. It is not watching a movie, but it is watching a video or an image which arouses a sexual desire in our heart for the person that is involved or someone else. It is a well-done research that a person, when accesses a pornography, their thinking towards their fellow friends and other people that they see around are almost driven by sexual desires. And the most shocking one is the last one, which says 82% of individuals doesn't find any help in the church. Why? Oh no, we should not talk about this in the church. Sex, pornography. That's not the topic we talk about. Let's talk about coming to church every Sunday morning. That's a good topic. But no, my dear friends, this is a place to talk about it. We need to talk about it. We need to be standing and helping each other and not going and shouting and telling each other's story out there in the market, but standing and supporting one another. You know, rightfully said in the verse 29 and beyond, where Jesus, verse 29 and 30, where Jesus talks about gouging of their eyes and hands. Imagine if that would have been strictly followed. How many of us would have been sitting here with one arm and one eye? But that's not what Jesus is talking about. The principle there at the play is take off the root cause of what is causing you to stumble. Be it your device, be it your friends, as rightly said, be it a place, be it a person, be it some material, be it thoughts, be it anything in our life that leads our thinking towards being lustful towards someone else, get rid of that thing. And I'll tell you what, this device is causing a lot of people to stumble. It is good. It is a wonderful device. It is a wonderful tool. I think if we make a rule suddenly tomorrow, no more smartphones in the world today, we would struggle. But it is a tool that we must use in the right way. And it doesn't take much for us to access any of information or any images or videos that are provocative, that arouses sexual desires in our hearts. If this is causing you to stumble, deal with it. Get rid of it. There are still dumb phones, that's what they call, but they are much better phones these days, I would say. Put on apps. There are apps. If there is something that causes you to stumble, get rid of it rather than losing your eye or your hand. In fact, when I was thinking about this, you know, I came across a very old song which AC/DC made about 1970s or 80s, Highway to Hell. You are on a highway to hell. Oh no, not you are. We are on the highway to hell. And it's almost like Jesus was telling them, if you don't do that, if you don't gouge off your eye, if you don't break cut off your hand, you are on a highway to hell because you have committed adultery. And we don't take all these things seriously because we have separated our personal life and our spiritual life. We still keep them separately in separate shelves. There are no separate shelves when we are with the Lord. I can go and on and talk about this, but we know what we're talking about. For each and every one of us, we know the extent that we are in how much we are affected by all these things that we see across in media, that we see on our phones, that we think about, what we think about, how we think about, and all that stuff. But I would like to, as I said on the screen, I would like to leave you with three words this morning, and I would say ram it. R is run. Or almost getting rid of things. You know, when I'm using a word run there, I'm thinking about Joseph in the Old Testament. You know, if you read that passage in Genesis, when the wife of Potiphar invited him to have a physical relationship with him, what he did? He did not just run away from the room. The Bible says he ran away out of the house. As far as he can take himself from that place. My dear church family, if you find yourself in a place like that, run. Get rid of an app, get rid of a device, get rid of any information, any material, or anything that pulls you away from Lord. Run. Second thing, create your own accountability group. If you think, oh, that is my weakness, find yourself a group that you're accountable to, who can check with you, check on you, who can ask you questions, who can remind you of things. This need not be a big group, maybe just another person, maybe just another friend. as a minister, I'm always available to talk to you about all these things. I don't know all the answers, but we can journey together. Maybe someone from church, someone from the leadership team, someone that you know would give right words, right wisdom, would pull me on these things. Find those people in your life. And meditate on God's word. I can never forget a song, and I would always use this. Read your Bible, pray every day. It will make you grow. Ignoring God's word just leads us away from the Lord and puts us in all sorts of wrong places. I'm ending there with a small advice even for parents or for adults who are looking after children. Be careful what our children are watching. TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, the list of apps can go on and on and on. Keep an eye on what is their watching habit. What is that they're looking at? And please make your home an open space for your children to ask any question. And try to give them a genuine biblical answer on that. Sometimes certain questions we might think are not appropriate. But within the space where parent and child are alone, that's fine. Let them answer that. Let them ask that question and please answer them. If you don't know, tell them, oh, give me some time, I'll read about this and I'll get back to you on that. But please to talk to them about this. Before they find all sorts of wrong information in the world outside, let's allow our children to see what is biblically right. As I said in my sermon, the QR code leads to a few websites that if you know someone or if you're struggling with pornography, would lead you to that website. It also has a link to the article that reflects on the statistics that are mentioned on the screen. But my church family, I must end this saying that if you know someone who is struggling with this, or if you are struggling with this, your church family is the right place to find a support to walk with you. We are always available. I'm always available to chat with you. Just to say, remind thought of people as I keep saying, I don't work on my diary. I work on the door knocks. So I'm always around at the church. Come and talk. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Thank you.
I just want to reinforce what Sat is saying, and that's verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Run, accountability, meditate. But call upon God, because his spirit, his peace, his love will guard your hearts and thoughts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for the way you transform each of us. And as we go from this place today, Lord, I pray we will be very conscious of your presence, of your Holy Spirit dwelling within us, nourishing us, guiding us, enabling us to serve you in the places where we travel. Lord, be with each of us this week, I pray, that we may stand firm in faith, be proud to call you our Lord and our Saviour, and to share your love with those around us. For we ask it humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.